So, in Ephesians, and it, luck would have it, we don't have the technician to change the slides, but I don't change too much. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. I think I stay in there till the very end, and then we'll be in Psalms. So, Jesse, can you read? Oh, never mind. I didn't start right out with a verse. Yeah. So we've been going through the book of Ephesians, right? So we're at that point where Paul is wrapping up his letter. You know, it's coming to a close. And he's advised, we've gone through this, but he advised the Ephesians to walk in love, to walk in the light that is true, the light that Jesus is the Son of God, to walk in wisdom, to walk in respecting others, right? We've all done that the last several weeks. Even if it means actually listening to, without talking back, in doing what somebody asks us to do, right? Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, right? That's easy enough. You know, that might be easy for some, but for others, they might struggle with some parts or pieces or the whole thing. Now, Paul goes on and reminds us of how they were to accomplish these things. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Jesse, can you read that? So, how we're supposed to do it is we're to be strong in the Lord. What does that mean to be in the Lord? What does it mean to be in the Lord? To be strong in the Lord.
To trust in Him.
To trust in Him, right? To be in Him. It's not that we're inside of Him, right? We're not a little parasite or something, what's inside, or a virus, but we're letting Him be a part of our lives, right? We're letting Him to be a part of our lives. We're leaning on Him. We're following Him. We're trusting in Him. We're close to Him. We're having a relationship with Him. Not that long-distance relationship where you only call when you need something. Not that type of relationship, right? A relationship where we talk, we communicate, and we want to hear from each other. Also, in the power of His might. Now, it's not saying we could do everything God can do, but again, it's trusting what He can do. Not trusting in what we can do, but trusting in what He could do and what He has promised to do. In essential, we need Jesus. We need help. You know, and it's okay to ask for help. You know, being confident in God's power and not our own. Winston Churchill. Anybody's ever heard of this gentleman in history class? Right? Who is he? Who was he?
I don't know. I just recognize the name.
You just recognize the name?
He was the
Prime Minister? Right. Right. During a very famous conflict.
World War II.
Right? So, he said, I must drop one word of caution. For next to cowardice and treachery, overconfidence leading to neglect and slothfulness is the worst of wartime crimes. So we need to include God always. It doesn't matter who you are. There's with God or there's without God. You know, with God, there is nobody we should fear. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Cassia. So the reason we need to be strong, the reason we need to have the power of God, the reason we need to have a suit of armor is not the question is if we're going to be attacked. It's when are we going to be attacked. The devil is out there. He's out there like a roaring lion wanting to devour you and me. And he's very tricky, meaning wily. He's kind of like Wile E. Coyote. Anybody ever watch Roadrunners? I don't know. He wasn't very smart, but he always had he always had these plans, these traps. You know, the devil uses deception and lies as his weapons. And then verses 12 and 13, Kanoa. Jesse, you want to read that and we'll get back? Somewhere right here. Hopefully that's big enough. So there is unforeseen battles all around us. Look around us. You see any battles going on? No, that's because they're unseen, right? They're not physical ones. They're ones found in heavenly places, spiritual ones. Ones where Satan and his minion are coming against us. Principalities. Anybody know what principalities are? Means. No? It's those areas or a region where the prince is in charge. Or in some cases, back in the day, they'd have governors. It'd be princes and governors kind of tit for tat, you know, kind of same thing. As far as they'd be over this region. You know, and then the devil being a prince, if you will. But the good news is it's just a prince. The king made the prince. The king is much more powerful than the prince. God's armor will help us stand against those who would like to knock us down. 14, Noah, read that, verse 14. That is awesome. I meant chapter 6, 14, though. I think that was probably 5 or something. 5, yeah.
Stand for having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
All right, so what do you put around your waist normally? A belt, right? A belt. We could call it a belt. The belt of truth, right? That's the first piece of this armor. Now, normally the dress code back in the day, guys wore these tunics. You know, you could call it dresses. It wasn't a dress, it was a tunic. But what they would do is they would gird it, meaning that they'd pick up the extra pieces and it'd be more like shorts once they tucked it into their belt. But with a tunic, it could restrict motion. You know, it could get caught on things. So when it girded yourself, what it did is it put everything together. Now, it did protect the bottom half, but with truth, you're able to move around freely. You know, you're able to move freely. Truth is essential, right? It is crucial. We cannot win against the father of lies by using lies, right? That just falls right into his trap. You know, he'd love that. And then the breastplate of righteousness. So we've all seen movies, there's big armor, right? And there'd be this breastplate. Righteousness is very humble and pure. You know, this chest piece would protect vital organs. Organs what you would not want to be damaged or you'd be most likely killed. You know, these organs would include the heart. You know, our heart where our desires are. Protecting us from those desires, from the unrighteous desires. You know, pride and depression. You know, righteousness protects us from those. Verse 15, Cassia. I don't know about you guys, but ever since I remember, I've had sensitive feet. You know, I've heard about people, they could run across rocks, yeah, whatever they want to say. They could run across rocks and they say they have feel no pain. I like shoes. I don't know about you guys, I love shoes. I remember down in the valley, so I grew up in the valley, but my friend lived two apartment complexes and we'd like to go swimming pool hopping because they had a few swimming pools. But I forgot my shoes and running on the pavement down there, it is extremely hot. It wasn't comfortable. You had to run to grass and then run to grass and stop and pause. But I've always had sensitive feet. Now the Greek and Romans, they both had great success because they were able to move their armies long distances quickly. And a lot to do with that was their footwear. Plus, good unbroken shoes, you know, on uneven ground, you're still stable. You're still able to stand on uneven ground. Now, the gospel of peace should be the foundation. You know, it should be where we stand. It should be what we trust in. You know, in a fight, footwork is very important. We don't want to be caught off guard. Now, have you guys ever noticed with an elderly person that sometimes they shuffle their feet? Ever notice that elderly people sometimes will shuffle their feet? Now, we tend to think, you know, it's all just because they're really old and they're weak. And yes, that adds to it, but the reason they shuffle their feet is they're unsure. They're unsure about the next step. You know, it's kind of like if you hurt your tailbone snowboarding. Right? You're hurt. And then next time you're worried about hurting again, right? So you're more cautious. You're more cautious. So no, there's nothing wrong with being cautious, but you're unsure, right? Now the gospel of peace that it has in the gospel, that could calm us down. Because we'll know for sure that God has everything under control. That He is in control. That's the peace that the gospel brings us. And we are able to bring to other people by sharing the gospel. Verse 16, Jesse.
All
right, so above all, it says above all, it's not talking that these next items are the most important. It just means included. Above all that, We also want to include this, right? These pieces are meant to work together, and they work better if they're together. Now, the shield of faith. So we're not talking about those little tiny, little dinky shields. You know, the Romans used full-on shields, full-body shields. You know, it's the ones would be coming up to here, and then they can make a little barricade. We've all seen movies, right? Right, Lord of the Rings. Huh?
The ones that the elves had specifically,
because
the dwarves had shorter ones.
Right. So the elves were what, the ones we were talking about. So these ones, you'd stand up, and then, like Lord of the Rings, we've all seen that scene where the sky just turns black and then all of a sudden you see the image and there's just a ton, the whole sky filled with arrows hurling down onto our heroes, right? You know, that'd be a very scary scene if you're the ones where the arrows are pointed at, right? Be like, oh my gosh, how am I going to survive this? You know, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. It's exactly what they want. They want us to be scared. They want us to retreat. So why fiery darts?
It's fire
burns you,
it hurts.
Fiery, but wouldn't a dart hurt? Or an arrow in some cases? I would, yeah, it would hurt more, but still, in a lot of pain, right? But also, I think that fire, that's one image to see an arrow, but then it's on fire, it's like, oh, now it's serious, right? It'd be more scary. It'd be scarier, wouldn't it? And it would hurt more, I'm sure of it. Fire hurts. However, the reason, the main reason beyond those two things is that what the enemy is hoping is that that fiery dart or fiery arrow would stick into your shield, to stick into your faith and cause it to be on fire. Because what are you going to do with that shield if it's on fire? You don't drop it. You don't get rid of it. And then we're unprotected. Again, he wants to use fear to get us to a place where we're unprotected. Now, in the Roman days, before the battle, they would soak their shields in water so that if a fiery dart landed in it, it'd be quenched, right? It would just go out. It'd be no problem, right? And that's what they did. And we need to keep our faith new and afresh, full of Jesus' living water. Verse 17. Jesse, right? Yep. No, she did not. I'm not that old, and I didn't forget.
No.
Oh, I just don't ever do it again.
You said Noah, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God.
Never mind. I'm going to, it just seemed short. The helmet of salvation. So the helmet would protect your feet also, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's what it does.
That's what a helmet does.
Yeah. Oh, that type of helmet. Okay. So that's... one what goes on your toes. But... the helmet of salvation, so it keeps your head protected.
That's
pretty important, right? There's some things we need the head for. You know, keeping our thoughts on salvation. Protecting against unholy thoughts and doubts. That's important. Protecting us against doubts. Now, there is hope in salvation. Knowledge that we are saved. And no matter what, we will remain being saved. Because God will always be victorious. That knowledge, that's where we have our hope, the hope in salvation. And there is no discouragement in salvation. Now, the sword of the Spirit, our God's word, the sword is used for both offense and defense, right? You could block or you could parry. However, like any other weapon, we need to be taught how to use it. Right? If we join the army, that first day, they just don't throw you a hand of keys to the tank, right?
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. That'd be kind of foolish. Because, why? You might accidentally, like, what does this button do? You know, you might hurt somebody else, or you might hurt yourself. It's fine. Basic training. You know, we need to be trained how to use the weapons properly and safely. Right? Unfortunately, there's a lot of times, especially kids, do not use weapons properly, and things happen. Also adults, but kids mostly.
What weapon will a little kid use?
What weapon will a little kid use? Butter knife. Hopefully, that would be the best scenario, but there was a sixth grader who was upset with his teacher or something. And you need to be, you know, if there's weapons in the house, you need to be protected. I know growing up, and if there was a weapon in the house, I knew I had to respect that. And I'm sure you guys know that too, right? It's not a toy. It's not something you play around with or for little squabbles you take out and threaten people. That's ridiculous. I don't even understand. I never even thought about going there. And hopefully that's the same in your cases. But that is why we need to be taught. It's just like the Word of God. We need to study it. Because if we don't study it, we could hurt others by it because we use it wrong. And also we could hurt ourselves by using it wrong. So that's why we study the Word. Verse 18. Okay.
Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all true spirits, making supplication for all the saints.
So praying is not an option. It's not an option, we could take it or leave it. No, our relationship with God, it's essential. Us talking with, asking for guidance, you know, asking for help, keeps that suit of armor together. It's kind of like the links. You know, they say the weakest part of a chain is the weak link, right? So we need to keep prayer strong. You know, to ask for help, to cast our worries upon Him. Now, supplication. There's another word we don't use too often nowadays, like principalities, but supplication. Does anybody know what that alludes to?
Unable to breathe.
Unable to breathe?
Yes, that's what suffocation means.
Oh, supplication. No, this is supplication.
Applying it to whatever you're doing.
That's close. It's asking or pleading for help or just for guidance or somewhere along that lines. It literally means pleading humbly. But it's that point where you're earnestly just asking for general help. You know, not that, oh, well, I could use your help if you have it. No, it's really wanting the help and asking for that help. You know, praying always and not just for ourselves. Praying for those around us. You know, if we feel in, I know for myself is sometimes I will, oh, well, I could just power through this. I could do this on my own. But if it feels like, oh, well, I don't need prayer, but other people need our prayer. There's a ton of people out there who need our prayers. Now, 19 through 20, Jesse.
And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
So, if we didn't know this, Paul wrote this letter from a Roman prison. This is where he wrote a lot of letters, but he wrote the Ephesian letters. Now, he was surrounded, you could imagine, he's in prison, he's surrounded by armored guards. Perhaps this is where he got the analogy of the suit of armor, the God's armor, right? So at this point when Paul's in prison, he's preached to thousands. You know, he's preached to thousands. Had adversaries everywhere. You know, he was physically knocked down because people threw rocks at him, right? But he got back up and he continued on. During one of his missions trips, he was stuck in a prison. It said that they beat him with rods. You know, more than just a couple stripes, but a lot of stripes, it says. And it was in the inner prison, meaning the darkest part of the prison. And what he did is he praised and sang, you know, hymns to God. You know, he's been on huge mission trips. One would think this man is bold, right? You wouldn't think that he was, you know, cowardice or just somebody with sticks to the background, shy. You would think this man has no fear. What can't Paul do?
Escape.
Well, that night, earthquake happened and all the doors opened in that prison. And yet, he stayed in his cell because the jailer was going to kill himself. And the reason he was going to kill himself is back in the Roman days is if the jailer would let any prisoner escape, his sentence or his punishment of everybody who would escape would fall on the jailer. So Paul and his comrades said, no, we haven't escaped. We're still here. Do not hurt yourself. But that's a little bunny trail. But what Paul does here, we see that you would think that these people back in the Bible days, you know, that they were just super Christians, right? They'd have this big C on their chest. They'd fly around. But what he does here, he asks for boldness. He asked the Ephesians to pray for boldness for him. Boldness to share the gospel. Something he's done, like I said, I'm sure, thousands of times. To share the gospel with those around him, the guards around him. He was going to eventually meet with Caesar, so he wanted to share the gospel with Caesar. Possibly at that time, the emperor of the known world. Right? He's asking for opportunities and ways he can do this, to share the gospel. He wants to know how he should do this, how he should uncover the mysteries for those who do not know them. Paul was not going to let these physical chains stop him, because he would have been in shackles being in a prisoner. He still knew that he was an ambassador of God. He still represented God, and he still wanted to show that. You know, as an ambassador, they would have different chains. They'd have these gold chains, right? You'd send, you know, somebody you trusted, so they'd have decorative chains. That's how Paul saw these shackles. He didn't see them as shackles, or the world would see him, oh no, he's a prisoner, but no, Paul saw them as golden. That gave him an opportunity to share with these people he was about to. In Psalms 138, verse 3, and then maybe whoever can get there, or if no one gets there first, you could read it.
I thank my God upon every member.
138:3. So when we call on God, we could be bold in Him. Remembering to carry truth, righteousness, the gospel. Definitely faith, you know, knowledge of salvation, and last but not least, the Word. Carrying all that with you, and you can be bold and protected in Jesus. Cassia, can you close this in prayer?